The brother says the second question is that Mufti Ilyas said last week that you can read Chash Namaz till Zawal. We thought we could read it till 12 o'clock midday.
Let me just explain this Ishraq and Chash again once more, because repeatedly it seems to come up. As far as Ishraq is concerned, it is performed 15 minutes after sunrise. So Ishraq, let us get it clear, 15 minutes after sunrise. And the best will be to remain in that same place where you performed your Fajr Salat without moving and make Quran Tilawat, recitation of Durood, Zikr, etc. And then perform 2 or 4 rakats. And inshallah you will get so much reward that will obtain the sawab of one Hajj and one Umrah. Salatul Chas or Salatul Dua, it commences after some part of the day has passed. That is plus minus 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And performance remains until Zawal. Number of rakat, 12 rakat. And inshallah you will get so much sawab that if your sins equal to the foams of the ocean of the sea, then it will be forgiven. Inshallah.
Jazakallah. I'd like to go on further. The other question, brother says, his third question is, Assalamu alaikum. We had a burglary, some jewelry got stolen. The same day earlier, we read Yasin and Ayatul Kursi. We blew around the house. Lucky we were not present when the burglary took place. And it could have been worse. Mufisan, please comment.
This burglary, for example, I think the question is that although we did our recitations, etc., how come the burglary took place? Now, here we must understand something, that alhamdulillah, that all these recitations depend on our sincerity, our devotion, and also at times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us into certain difficulties and calamities, and these small calamities, which are huge in our eyes, are actually in recompensation for the bigger and the huge and the mighty calamities is supposed to come. So the person should not be despondent or should not feel disappointed that I did my reading, how come this happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tests his slaves and his bondsmen sometimes by putting them into a certain amount of difficulty. So you should be rest assured that this was a minor event, and you yourself are saying that alhamdulillah you were not present during that burglary. Perchance if you were present and Allah protect us, they could have harmed you, injured you for life, killed you, life could have been lost.
Mm.
But here materialistic goods have been taken away, so we should make sugar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are still with iman, with life.
Jazakallah. Alright, dear listeners, this is a phone-in program question and answer session with Mufti Ilyas Hafidhullah, who is on the other side of the line, which is answering your questions and your doubts and all the masalas. Call us on 011-854-1548, and the cell phone number is 082-580-8070 to send your SMS questions. Alright, a number of questions coming through SMS. The one says, what is the ruling regarding the leaving out of the sunnat namazes after Jum'ah, because sometimes the imam takes too long and we have to be back at work at a certain time? So please comment on this.
If you have got an unreasonable boss, or if you have got a boss who is not a Muslim and does not understand the value of your sunnah performance, then because you have to be there on time, and this has got to do with your provision, so you should make istighfar and go back to your workplace. After that, inshallah, you should try to make up some nawafil salat. And even if you want to make those qaza sunnat, then voluntarily you should do so. And be regretful about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open a way for you. Yeah, whilst this question is on, I would like to mention and also ask the imams to address this situation.
But
now it has become a pattern that without excuse, without any shari valid excuse, for absolute no reason, people after the faraz of Jummah just go outside and start standing, smoking, gossiping and doing the rest of the things, not worried about the sunnah performance. And in certain parts of the world, they got no value and no love for sunnah, after performance of farz of Jummah, they purposefully, willfully leave out the sunnah and go outside and stand and run around. We should address this.
Yeah, right. I think very important point to raise, Mufti Sam, JazakAllah for that. Already gone further. SMS question. Assalamu alaikum. I have two questions, please. Number one is, can one make dua with the eyes closed?
It is permissible to do so, and for the sake of focusing and to be alert, you can close your eyes and make dua.
Alright, and the brother's got the other question to say that, Assalamu alaikum, I am moving to a place which has not been used for the last 3 years. Is there anything to read?
The question has arisen because the person, unfortunately, people are telling him that there are a lot of now jinnat there, shayateen there, and there will be some foreign elements there, and alien forces there, and energies, etc. You just go there, make sure the place is clean, park, saf, and then start performing salah in every room.
Okay.
Start reciting Quran and Kareem in every room. By your action and making salah, remembering Allah, recitation of Quran and Kareem, recitation and doing of good actions, even if they are jinnat, they are rebellious, so they will all disappear and run away.
All right, inshallah, jazakallah. Maybe we can just also invite us for a cup of tea, Mufti Sam. All right, we go on further. Assalamu alaikum. Mufti, what is the masala regarding hair gel? Is it permissible to use hair gel?
Now, that hair gel depends. I am not a master on the medication or the constitution of that hair gel. However, sometimes you find these youngsters wearing this and putting this hair gel, and their hair seems to stand up. And one of those youngsters, I asked them, that, listen, what happened? You had some, you put your finger in the electrical plug or something. Why your hair is standing like this? And then they wear the hat so delicately above the head that that hair fashion and style that they made must not get disturbed in the slightest manner. Now, this gelling of the hair, etc., is definitely not conducive to the good Muslim's behavior. In fact, it is written about the azab of, that came onto the people of Lut alayhi salam. One of the reasons was chewing of gum, the other one was discharge of gases, and the other one was that they should stand at the roadside wooing girls, and the other one was that gelling of the hair. Now, this is not a serious, light manner, it's a very serious manner. Now, if that gel is applied before wuzu, and that gel is so thick that does not allow the water to permeate and touch the hair, then the wuzu is not valid. Because if that gel is so thick in nature and it does not allow the water to go and touch the hair and wash the hair, then the wuzu is not valid. If the wuzu is not valid, obviously salat is not valid. So I am not a professional as far as the makeup or the composition of the gel. If it is that the water permeates, then that is permissible to utilize. But however, youth should definitely abstain from utilizing those gels that make the hair stand straight.
Alright, so it will be very interesting, Mr. Musab, to actually, you know, investigate this matter and see as to if the water, you know, does go through this gel. Alright, we go on further. Yes, listeners, a number of questions coming through. Remember, this is your phoning program. The number to call, 011-854-1548. Cell phone number to send the SMS questions is 0825-808070. Alright, we go on further. The question is, it says, Assalamu alaikum, hope Mokkara and Mufti Sahib is well. Alhamdulillah, JazakAllah for asking. Allah keep you well as well. Is it allowed to make dua during the sajda of a nafal namaz, Mufti Sahib?
Some scholars, Hanafi scholars are saying it is permissible to do so. But should not be done in public, it will create a complete wrong impression.
Alright, JazakAllah. Assalamu alaikum, the SMS saying, is it permissible to cut nails and hair while in haiz?
This is a very touchy masala. Certain kitabs are written that you should not do so. However, for hygiene purposes, and when it is becoming filthy and dirty and untidy, and it is going to be detrimental to the health, then the room for permissibility exists.
All right, JazakAllah. Mr. Badia, we had a call. The sister wanted to know that she was given talaq on the 12th of August, and she wants to know, she wants us to calculate basically her iddah period.
Remember, that it will depend, she was given talak. She was given the state of purity when her third haze finishes, iddat finishes.
Third haze. Jazakallah. Regarding further, the other question on the computer screen, Brother Jed says, is that a small baby whose parents are alive and the child has his own money, does he have to pay zakat from his money?
This is very interesting. A nabaligh, that means an immature person, can receive zakat. A nabaligh can receive zakat, and upon a nabaligh wealthy, zakat is not compulsory, not for us. That means if a nabaligh, immature person, male or female, is a millionaire too, then that person does not have to give zakat. But a nabaligh, poor person, can receive zakat.
Alright, Jazakallah. We can't further. The other question states, I think we spoke about it last week and the week before, about dua for memory. The listener wants to know, are there any specific duas for memory?
The ulama state that after Faras Salat, if a person holds the head and reads Ya Kawiyu 11 times, that inshallah memory should improve. Also, if a person recites Durood Sharif a lot, and also abstain from sin, that is the golden rule. If a person, inshallah, abstains from major sins and avoids minor sins, and then they have also stated recitation of Quran al-Kareem and being in the company of good people increases the memory.
All right, Jazakallah. So yes, I think we have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Alhamdulillah, how are you? Jazakallah.
Welcome to Mufti Sahib as well. Okay, my, I'd like to know, like in a large gathering, like a istima where there's many serfs, right? Is it permissible for a person to cross a person in salat? Is it permissible or not, right? The second one, I'd like to know, is there something to the effect that when a person is there for Hajj or for Umrah, right? And between the door and the Hasri Aswad, where the cloth sort of folds, right? To a person to place his right cheek and a right portion of his body against the stones and make dua at this position. Is there something to the effect like this? I'll listen over there.
All right, Brother Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Shimufi sir.
As soon as you have a gathering that is more than 40 arm lengths, then you may, in emergency situations, cross. For example, the haram, the major masajids, and your big Jummah masjid, and what he's talking about, the ishtima. And the ishtima was very, very huge. And there were about, I think, 150 people in one saf, minimum. So it was very, very big. Now, in that cases, out of emergency, two safs ahead or one and a half safs ahead, you may cross.
Second question.
The area between the Hajar al-Aswad and the door of the Kaaba, that means the starting of the door of the Kaaba, is called Multazam. The Multazam, that area which you should attach yourself to. So it has been proven that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala al majmain, they should place their chest on it and the right cheek and extend their arms, and you'll find the people doing exactly what I'm telling you there. And that is an area where du'as are accepted. The du'as are accepted at Safa, Marwa, in the Hatim, whilst making tawaf, in Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifa. Du'as are accepted when you are at the Multazam, drinking Zamzam also. So that place where this brother is referring to, if you have an opportunity, and unfortunately these days, it is very, very difficult for a person to reach that spot. It is always crowded. But if you get an opportunity, go there and weep and make a lot of dua.
All right, Jazakallah. So we go on further. The three questions posed, I think, by a sister, it is. Number one is it permissible for mother-in-law to hug their sons-in-law on the wedding day?
Although permissible, not advisable.
All right, not advisable. Number two, is it permissible if a woman is in parda to go and talk to her son-in-law without observing parda?
There is no hijab between the mother-in-law and son-in-law.
Oh, all right, JazakAllah. And the third question is, Mujizab, is it permissible for a person to use the miswak while fasting?
According to Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi, it is permissible.
All right, it is permissible, JazakAllah. All right, we have another question on the computer screen, and it states, Mujizab, listen to this one. After the mayyit leaves the home, can the ladies make janaza namaz in the house?
This is not proven. They should not do such an action. They should not start an innovative action. They should abstain from such an action. Those who are encouraging it should not be listened to.
All right, JazakAllah. We go on further. Assalamu alaikum says the SMS. I have a question. It is, are women allowed, Musab, to use birth control pills in the month of Ramadan in such a way that they don't get their monthly menses and therefore don't miss any fasts?
This, although it is permissible, the fast, because now they have so-called cancelled or suspended or postponed their menstrual flow, and they are in the state of purity because of the medication taken. So, because they are in the state of purity, not experiencing haiz, their fast will be valid. However, that before taking those drugs and medication to control and postpone or cancel their haiz, they should consult a pious, reliable doctor so that they can advise them, is this going to affect their health and physique? If it's going to affect their health and physique, they should not do it. But if they do it, then their fasting is valid. However, we are of the opinion that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a nizam, a system and a scheme, then we should abide by it and not try to change and alter and challenge the scheme of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has created us. Allah knows what is to be released, when it's supposed to be released. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has allowed the ladies to have haiz, and the wisdoms are many. And biologically, the medical practitioners tell us too that there are many reasons why that blood flows out. So do not disturb intentionally, willfully, without any valid reason, that flow.
All right, JazakAllah. So we go on further, inshallah. The other question is, the person wants to know, what is the fatwa regarding selling TVs, DVD players and radios?
Permissible.
It's permissible. All right, JazakAllah. We go on further. Number of questions coming through via SMS. Assalamu alaikum. Sister says, I want to accept a proposal from a guy, but I have doubt. I've made istikhara several times. I make dua every day to make the right decision. How do I decide on an answer? Masala regarding this guy.
As far as istikhara is concerned, unfortunately, many are of the opinion that when you make istikhara, then they feel that you need to see a kaleidoscope vision or a dream, and a very colorful dream, or maybe some angel come and tell you what to do, etc. And people think that this istikhara definitely is going to link me with Malaya Allah and the fear of the Malaika, and they're going to talk to me, etc. This is not necessary. If it happens, good. But it's the inclination that after you get up from your istikhara, salat, and sleep, then you, what you are inclined? Must I do it? Is it positive, negative? How I feel? Joyful, delightful, depressed? Or am I uneasy or easy? That should determine and give direction. And concerning this, you should see my website, alislam.co.za, on the book of Nafil Salat. You'll find this explanation given there. So, the person should make istikhara again.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, make mashwara with your elders.
Mashak. JazakAllah, very true indeed. All right, yes, we have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Gee, brother.
I wanted to ask Mr. Sahib, is that someone has asked me this question that it has been stated in the hadith that to eat fish and milk, it doesn't agree with fish and milk, and it has some consequences. I just want to know if that is true, and which kitab or something where you can find it as well.
All right, brother, JazakAllah. That's the only question we have, brother?
Yes.
All right, JazakAllah, so much for the call. Take care. Assalamu alaikum. Shimri Sahib.
There is no hadith that we have come across about this fish and milk combination story, etc. However, there is a kitab on tib by Ibn Qayyum rahmatullah alayh, where this masala is discussed about fish and
fish and milk.
Fish and milk. Yes, some hukama, some of the
hakim.
Medical hakims, they say that this is not conducive for the body and not good. So it is a decision and a ruling by the Hakims, not a hadith.
All right, Jazakallah Khair, sir. All right, you have another caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Jesus, sir.
I wanted to know, I've got, my mother's like very obsessed with washing her hands and stuff. And we keep on telling her and trying to reassure her that soap is not really necessary for washing your hands. And it doesn't really work. So could you people please try helping us out?
I just said the question again, sister, from the start.
My mother's obsessed with washing her hands and stuff, and she spends hours in the bathroom.
Oh, okay, right.
And we've tried, like, people have told us we must try, like, talking to her and telling her that it isn't really necessary to use soap, and water is the most important agent of cleaning.
Right.
So we're just asking, could you please kind of help us to reassure her on that?
Okay, inshallah. Jazakallah. Mustafa will answer the question, sister.
Okay.
All right. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This is not only particular to this case. Many are obsessed by this. And you'll find people also in the wuzu khana that they go to the wuzu khana and they are there for a very long period of time. And washing and washing and washing. These are mashkuk people, doubtful people. And the cure for, or the suggested remedy for the sister's mother is don't allow her to go to the bathroom. It's very simple that bring a jug of water and bring a container for her to the room. There we want to make your khidmat. We want to be very kind and hospitable to you. And we'd like you to wash now in the room or in the kitchen, etc., after meals. So that he got minimum now time and minimum amount of water in the jug to complete her activities. By allowing her the freedom of the tap, the water flowing, that is where the difficulty is. And if you take this away and minimize it by the method we have suggested, that inshallah, then she'll realize that I have to use this small amount of water to wash my hands. The second method will be that, okay, if she insists she wants to go there, then someone has to go there and after a very short interval, explain to her nicely, holding her hands and showing her the seat is clean. Now you don't have to wash again. And by this, inshallah, some solution will be found.
All right, inshallah, jazakallah, Rasam. All right, we go on further. The other questions, Salah, we have a caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam. Well, now I'd just like to ask Mufti, sir.
Yeah.
If a couple is divorced.
Yeah.
Right, and what happens to her mehr money?
All right.
And another question is, you see, while they were married, she bought a lot of things for the house, like appliances. And now, what happens to her appliances and her clothes and all that?
All right, Jazakallah. That's the only questions we have, sister. You listen on the air.
Jazakallah
so much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. All right, Musab, the two questions.
Remember, the mehr is hers.
Married
the dowry is hers. She keeps it.
All right.
And then, the all the appliances. And this question is a very interesting and valid and significant question. That unfortunately, we do not do these this specification these days. And it should be done. An itinerary should be that in the house, the fridge belongs to the wife and the microwave belongs to the husband. Or this should be listed properly. And as a result of not listing, we have these major disputes, quarrels and fights, and to such an extent that the matter reaches court too. Yeah. If he bought it with her money, it belongs to her.
Belongs to her.
And if he bought it, it belongs to him. Now they will have to sit, unfortunately, sadly speaking, after the divorce, both parties, and now outline who bought what, and then the owner of the article should take that.
Allah Rabbi Izzat save us, Musab, really, you know, it's really sad regarding the divorce taking place in our community. All right, we go on further. 10 minutes to 9 o'clock. Listeners, it's your phone in program. 011-854-1548 is the number to call. And the cell phone number to send the SMS questions is 082-580-8070. And we have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Hello,
Ji, brother.
I would like to ask a question to Mufti Sapan.
Ji, go ahead.
You see, there are certain things I don't know are we Muslims are actually going out on. The Shab-e-Barat night, which we all have been all the years saying it's a big night for us.
Yeah.
Right. There are people that say there's no way in the Quran written on it.
Okay.
And I would like to have an answer on that as well as the other big nights.
All right.
Because I agree for a Muslim, every night is a big night. But the certain particular nights were mentioned everywhere, and why are they trying to change it now?
All right, Jazakallah, brother Mustafa, answer the question.
Right, Jazakallah.
Jazakallah, take care, brother. Salaam alaikum, Salaam. Tim Nisab, the brother's question regarding the big nights, Shabbat, Barat, etc.
Concerning all these nights, for example, now the Miraj is coming, and people are under the impression that this is the 27th of Rajab. Whereas the preferred unanimous opinion is that it could have been on the 17th of Ramadan or 17th of Rabiul Awal. Now, where in which year even it happened, whether it was 1 year or 2 years or 5 years before Hijrah, that is also questionable. Now, concerning the Shab-e Barat and the Laylatul Qadr, now, although these nights are auspicious and significant, and one should make a lot of individual ibadat at home, but on all these nights, it is not necessary to give a talk, to listen to a talk, to gather in the masajids, etc., and wait for this talk. If it is given out of necessity, out of education, then some ulama say yes. But to insist that it has to be done, and there must be a talk, etc., that is not necessary. In the time of the best of eras, best of times, there were no talks given and no highlighting of these nights, etc. And also, unfortunately, in our times, that night vigil takes place in some of the masajids during these auspicious nights. This has not been proven, because Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made nafil salat as a rule at home, and no congregational nafil salat can be proven for these nights, or any special activities proven for these nights, or any special rakat performance, salat performance proven for these nights. So we should put things in its true perspective and realize that, alhamdulillah, the brother, he has stated that every night is auspicious big night. These nights, we are not denying that they are auspicious, Shab-e Barat and Laylatul Qadr, etc., and the Eid night, but the ibadat should be at home and not in the masajids done as night virgil and having huge itinerary programs, etc. This is not proven in the Sharia. First, right. Once more clarification, if you look at Ahsan al-Fatawa, Volume 1, page 37123.
Yes. All right, so I'm glad you brought this very important point regarding the 15th of Sha'ban. More specifically, can we see where the lecture sometimes in the masjid goes on for hours and hours, where the result when the poor people come back home, you know, they're so tired, whereas they ought to have spent the night in ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if there are programs, keep it very, very short and simple. All right, Jazakallah.
One more small point I'll add here.
Jai Mursa.
Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stated he should make nafil salat at home.
Jai.
And very famous riwayat that when he should go for sijda, then he should touch the feet of his wife, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she should move it, and he should make the sijda. When he should come out of sijda, he should extend her feet again. Now, how far is his house from the Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If he has to take one step, he's in the Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He did not go into the masjid to make the nafil ibadat. Neither did he tell the sahaba to congregate to make the nafil ibadat in the masjid.
He told
them, do it at home.
Jazakallah, very interesting point. All right, I think we have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Ji, brother. Jazakallah.
Just one question I want to ask.
Yeah.
Okay. I've been separated from my wife for about 12 months now.
Right.
And 2-3 years ago, for certain reasons, I taken my name off from the property and I put it onto her name. Okay.
All right.
What happened now? If we have to go through, I'm trying to patch up the marriage.
Inshallah.
But if, you know, there's a lot of outside bad influence and all of that's causing this problem.
Mm-hmm.
And you married for about 29 years, you know, and now you're going to throw it away.
Same.
It's not right.
Gee.
But if things don't work out, what happens to Islamically, do I still owe a 50% share of the house?
All right. Brother, just hold on. I'd like to get Mustafa on the line. Mustafa, are you there?
I'd like to ask two questions.
Gee.
If the brother does not mind.
All right, brother. Musab, got a few questions for you. All right?
Ji.
Musab.
When you drop for 50%, that house, did you put it on your wife's name completely or 50%?
Name of this.
Mustafa's question, brother, is that the house that you were living in, did you put it 50% on her name or
no,
the entirety
on
her name?
I put the full, I gave her a full, we had 50, but it was both names.
Right.
But I removed my name completely from there and I put her name on there.
Okay.
In the light of Sharia, she is the owner of the house.
Gee, brother, she is the owner of the house, Mustafa said.
Gee.
When there is a separation between the Ingwa does not take place, if there is going to be a separation, then that house belongs to her, not you.
Alright, you got the answer, brother?
Yes.
Alright.
But make dua, inshallah.
Everybody is making dua with you also, and may Allah unite you in complete harmony, brother. Make a lot of dua, make a salat al-hajat, and make a lot of dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're also making dua for you.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum, Mutisat. Assalamu alaikum to Radio Islam. Very good program you people have. I've always listened to Radio Islam, and I said one day I want to phone in.
Inshallah, jazakallah khairan, brother. Allah make matters easy for you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Allah, we'll take one more question before we have the news break. Permissible to have crayfish?
If it is, as I mentioned previously, if it is of the fish hanan, fish family, then it is permissible.
All right, jazakallah.
And an Islamic scholar must say that this belongs to the fish family, not Encyclopedia Britannica or any non-Muslim researcher or scholar. The equivalent of it should be sourced in the Arabic equivalent and check Hayatul Hayvanat of Alama Dimuri, then inshallah some decision can be made.
All right, Mr. Jazakallah. I think we have a call on the line also. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah.
I just want to find out the English translation by Mufti Saab. Where can I get it in Durban?
The English translation of what?
Quran. The Quran made easy.
The Quran made easy is coming this year, inshallah, before Ramadan, inshallah. So just hold on for a while. Inshallah, it is on the waters, and it should be before Ramadan. When it comes before Ramadan, then inshallah, try to contact us. We'll tell you where you can obtain a copy.
All right, brother.
Jazakallah.
Jazakallah. Where are you calling from? Durban.
Durban, yes.
See, which part of Durban, may I ask?
Overport.
Overport. Jazakallah so much. All right, brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. All right, Mustafa, going further. The other question is, all right, husband-wife problem. Assalamu alaikum. It says, husband did not support wife. She worked and she maintains herself. The husbands take all the income rent, but the house belongs to both, and they agreed to share the income. So this husband taking all the money. Your comments?
This he should not be doing. He should. They should properly decide who owns this property, and does the wife have a legal share in it? If she has a legal share in it, then she is entitled to receive part of the rental also. In ratio, in proportion. Pro rata, she can get the rental also. But the husband should make also the wife the part owner of his properties so that she can have income also.
All right, Jazakallah. So we're going further with the SMS questions. All right, we have a caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Ji, ma'am.
I would like to ask Mufti Saab did Mufti Saab translate Hayat al-Sahaba again? Original English?
Ji, Musab?
Yeah, we have Alhamdulillah translated, and it is out in 5 volumes, and we have actually done the translation from the Arabic, keeping at times the Urdu itself. We have done it freshly.
So, Murisab did translate it, sister.
Okay, so I never saw it in any of the bookshop. Can Musab please tell me where can I get it from?
Make me your agent, Mufti Saab. All right, sister, regarding the Hadith Sahaba, I got a copy last week as well.
Okay.
And I just spoke to Mufti Saab before, I think this morning to us, and one wonderful kitab, Alhamdulillah. Wonderful. We're going to start it on Radio Islam as well. Jazakallah, sister.
Okay.
All right. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. All right, you go on further, coach past 9, and call us on 0118 54 1548. Cell phone number to send the SMS questions is 0825808070. What's up, the question, or rather the SMS says, Assalamu alaikum, hope you're well, and Mufti Saab is well, Alhamdulillah, Jazakallah, for asking, is it allowed for us to keep Persian names?
it is best to keep names which have been recorded in the Ahadith, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given as suggestions Abdul Rahman, Abdullah, etc. And it is best to keep name of the Anbiya alayhi salam, Sahaba Ikram, male and female, the khair and barakat in it, to keep the names of pious and righteous personalities. These days, unfortunately, it has become a fashion to keep names which have got strange pronunciations and derivations also, and unheard of. People feel that you should keep a name which others do not have. And this is not a good trend of thought. So avoid keeping names, Persian or even Urdu names, which have got proper good meaning. And also it has become a tendency to keep the names of the film stars, film personalities, and sports heroes, etc. And to keep the names of these transgressors and evildoers will eventually affect the personality and character of the child. So keep good, pious names. Avoid totally names which have got no good meaning.
All right, Ustaz Jazakallah. You know, just to mention very quickly, a few days ago somebody asked a question that, can I keep my son's name Kino? And I asked the person, Kino, what does Kino mean? It's not an Arabic name, not a Persian name. It says, no, Kino as in Kino Reeves, a film actor. Inna lillahi, very, very sad, very tragic indeed. Allah Rabbul Izzat save us. All right, we have two or three callers on the line. We take the first caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Ji, brother.
I just want to ask Mufti, is it permissible to sell DVD movies in your part time, and can you save that money and go for Hajj with that money?
Alright, is that the only question you have, brother?
Ji, okay. And I'll listen over here.
Jazakallah so much.
Assalamu
alaikum. Ji, DVD movies.
Not permissible to sell those DVD movies, and you should try to sell. A lot of halal products are available for sale. So go and sell some halal products in the past time, and then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give tremendous barakah in halal activities and halal sale and halal rozi. Do not sell those haram movies and DVDs.
Alright, Jazakallah. We have another caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Ji, ma'am.
I'd like to ask, what's the ruling of fasting of a nafil fast on a Friday? Is it makruh or is it mustahab?
Alright, ruling of a nafil fast on a Friday. Alright, Mustahab.
The question arises, there is a hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stating that Friday is Eid. Now, Eid day we don't fast. So, the commentators of that hadith have stated that because Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has classified Friday as Eid, so because generally on Eid days we do not fast, obviously. Now, if a person is regular in fasting, for example, the three nafil fasts a month, and one of those fasts falls upon a Friday, then in that case it is not makruh at all to fast on that Friday. However, to intentionally, willfully, purposefully, only fast on the Friday, that is makruh.
Alright, so that's another clarification, Kisab. Alright, 90 minutes past 9 o'clock, Mufti Saab, already an hour gone. You know, time really goes very fast when we're speaking with Mufti Saab. Alhamdulillah, very interesting program, Jazakallah, Mufti Saab. And we're going to be asking for another maybe about 10 to 15 minutes, Mufti Saab, is that alright? Jazakallah so much, Allah reward you. The other question is, why did the Muslims only give zakat in the month of Ramadan, Mufti Saab?
That you should ask the Muslims. However, this is a tendency. And this tendency is good. Why? For various reasons. Because when you do a nafil action in Ramadan, then you are rewarded like doing a farz action. And when you are doing a farz action in Ramadan, then you are rewarded 70 times more. So, people generally would like to have a systemized method of calculation, especially of zakat. And it facilitates and makes it easier for the zakat giver that he calculates from one Ramadan to another Ramadan. So that is why, generally, most Muslims give their zakat out in the month of Ramadan, because they feel it convenient, more rewarding, facilitating easy calculation, and also that generally the collectors for funds and zakat and lillah are making their rounds in Ramadan. So they find it very convenient from many angles. However, if you have courage to do so in Ramadan, this is not wajib or sunnah. They are doing it for their convenience. Also, if a person does it on a monthly basis, it's permissible, absolutely. If a person does it on a daily basis, absolutely permissible. So, it is left upon the person who is giving the zakat when he finds it best for his calculation mechanism.
All right, Mr. Abdullah, for that clarification as well. All right, we go on further with the SMSs. We have a number of SMSs. Salaamu alaikum. Is there a specific dua that can be read for a girl wanting to get married, Muqtisab?
As I stated, that inshallah the book will be passed on to you, and then you can read those wazifas out. Just tell them, inshallah, hold on for a while until I get the kitab, inshallah, this week.
All right, Jazakallah, Muqtisab. By the way, do you have any dua in there for second wives? All right, we go on further. 21 minutes past 9 o'clock, the other question saying, if you miss the four sunnahs of Zuhr after Farad, do you perform two rakats sunnah first, then four rakats, or is it vice versa?
The Imams of Abu Hanifa, Rahmatullah Alayhi, the students of him, they have got both opinions there. One, they say that if you want to make the qaza, you can do it before your two, and some say after that. So, whatever you want to do, you may do. However, understand something, that there is, in Sharia, there is qaza for faraz and wajib, not necessarily for sunnah or nafil.
Alright, JazakAllah. We have a call from Pretoria. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah, brother. How are you?
Shukr, alhamdulillah.
JazakAllah.
Maulana, what I want to ask, let me just put the radio a bit softer.
Alright,
hold on a second.
Gee, please go ahead, brother.
Yeah. What I wanted to ask, you know, myself and the wife are both pensioners,
yes.
The governmental pensioners.
All right.
That is only our source of income. But I would like to give something every month on sadaqah or something.
All right.
Now, how much can I give?
What is that?
You can listen to this.
All right, JazakAllah. Listen on the radio, brother. Is
thank
right?
you. JazakAllah.
All right. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Can you serve the response to that question by the brother?
Yes. First of all, it is very heartening to note that although they are pensioners, they want to give some sadaqah, they want to give some lillah. In fact, they do not have to give sadaqah, they can give lillah. Lillah meaning for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sadaqah has got many regulations attached to it. And sadaqah at some stage can also be classified like lillah. There is an interesting discussion sometimes we'll have to make to define what is lillah, sadaqah, sadaqah jariyah, sadaqatul fitr, zakat, sadaqah for avoiding calamity, etc., and then kafara and fidya. So, yeah, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the brother.
I
mean, he, as he saw his istidat, as per his capability, he may give lillah and sadaqah. How much he can afford without strengthening himself, without putting himself into any financial difficulty, and without putting himself into any constraint and any possible difficulty, he may give out charity as per his potentiality of doing so.
All right, JazakAllah. Father Allah reward you as well for your intentions. We go on further. Is it permissible with some for the bride's father to be a witness in the nikah?
Yes, it is permissible.
It is permissible, JazakAllah. All right, we go to the other SMSs. The one saying, Assalamu alaikum. Can a woman work from home if her job involves answering phone calls from males?
Although permissible, not advisable.
Not advisable, JazakAllah. Assalamu alaikum. Is it permissible for a lady to read namaz in jamaat with the men and if the sahabiyat and the wives of Nabi Kareem Sahasan do it, Musa?
It is permissible for the females to join the jamaat. That is one masala. Second masala, that did the wives of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do so? Yes, when they were in Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the females should attend salat with jamaat. Number three, that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala anhu should physically discourage women to come even to Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha stated that what Hazrat Umar is doing is correct, and she went on to say that if Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive, he should have also prevented the woman from attending the salah with jamaat because of their conditions changing, we should understand something very, very clearly.
Mm-hmm.
That in the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were 9 other masajid besides Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salat ladies performed only in the Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not in those 9 other masajid. So those who say that no, the Indo-Pak ulama, those who are saying don't send the ladies to masjid, they are mistaken. That in the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ladies were not going to the masjid, those other 9 masjid. The speciality of the 2 harams requires a discussion which proves that why they are allowed to go to those 2 harams, and they should not be going to the masajid for salat with jamaat. And Taraweeh, Ramadan is coming, and there are certain ulama who encourage ladies to go for salat with jamaat Taraweeh time. This is completely contrary to the letter and spirit of Sharia. Ladies should perform their Taraweeh salat at home.
All right, JazakAllah Muhtasab. Now we go on further. The other question says, Assalamu alaikum. I want to read my Qasr namaz now, Muhtasab, when I was a Musafir a few months ago. How many rakats do I read for the Fajr, Zahr, Asr, Maghrib and Isha?
You missed your salat. That means when you were a Musafir, you were on journey, you missed your salat. Now when you are making Qaza, you'll make Qasr Qaza. Meaning, the condition and the state wherein you missed your salat, in that condition, you will make your qaza.
All right, JazakAllah. So the other question is with regards to ladies putting mehndi while in haid, is it permissible?
While they are in haid? Obviously, when they are in haid, they can put a mehndi, yes. It is permissible.
All right, JazakAllah. The other SMS question saying, Assalamu alaikum, I have 2 questions to ask. Is it permissible to read Harry Potter books? And if one is an actor, the money you get, is it halal? JazakAllah.
As far as these books, which depict mythology, black magic, and fictitious violence, immodesty, immorality, which are designed to corrupt the belief structure of a Muslim, which are designed to waste time and energy of the Muslims, which are designed so that people become addicted and spend a lot of money on these things, people should not waste their time on futile, vain activities which have got no benefit in this world or the cover or the akhirat. Fictitious books have generally no value besides corrupting the reader from all angles and corrupting the views and ideology, philosophy, which a sensible Muslim should be holding, which should be in accordance with the imaniyat of a Muslim. And any reading which takes away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be avoided.
Okay.
As far as an actor is concerned, we do not know what this person is doing, and requires clarification before any ruling can be made.
All right, JazakAllah, we're going further. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. The SMS says, what should one do, Muhtasab, if one is sitting on the floor and reading Quran and the person next to you is sitting and reading namaz on a chair? Will this be regarded as disrespect to the Quran?
It will not be regarded as disrespect to the Quran. Both are doing so. One is sitting on the chair due to incapacitation. So the person sitting on the floor, he is not doing something willfully against the Quran Kareem. He is not willfully, purposefully disrespecting Quran Kareem.
All right, JazakAllah. We go on further. It says, Assalamu alaikum. It's not too clear. Okay, let's go through the SMS. Someone just called me to tell me that Mufti said it's permissible to sell TVs and DVDs, etc., and spares. I would like to hear it for myself. And also, is it permissible to play PlayStation?
PlayStation, we start from the back. The PlayStation, if it is futile, vain activities, any futile, vain activity is not encouraged in Islam. Any activity which takes you away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is detested as makruh. Anything that is going to waste your time, money, and take you away from the faraiz of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is definitely detested as makruh. The question that was posed, is it permissible to sell TVs and radios?
Okay.
I said yes.
Okay, all right, JazakAllah, sir. The other question, all right, we have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Ji, brother.
Maulana, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, how are you?
Shukar with your dua.
JazakAllah,
I have a question, right?
Ji,
the mayat after ghusl is brought to the house
Ji.
And laid on the floor.
Ji.
Do the legs have to face Qibla or the head? Or if there's any, suppose instead of the legs, the head is facing Qibla, and instead of the head, the legs facing, is there any kafara or some penalty or something, Maulana?
All right. We'll ask you this other question, brother. We'll listen on the radio.
No, the second one is, okay. I didn't hear anything about Jinga this week.
Oh, Jinga.
Yeah, I think that's your favorite and my
favorite.
Favorite,
I tell you.
Right, I'll listen on the air.
JazakAllah, brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Simdi Sab, regarding the janazah.
Before the janazah, he can eat Jinga, inshallah. And as far as the janazah question and answer, the brother should listen, the people should listen carefully. Now, what is related in the textbook? The classical textbooks are that the mayat face is supposed to be facing the Qibla.
Gee.
Now, remember that in most places there were huge courtyards, etc. And it is very easy in those circumstances when you have got huge rooms and courtyards to make the mayat face in such a manner that the face is facing the Qibla. Now the difficulty arises that we are living, and many are living in flat, small rooms and not conducive to move and maneuver the mayat. As a result, now it is very difficult to put the face facing the Qibla. In that case, the ulama have written that the feet can face the Qibla and simultaneously raise the head a little bit. So it's got the feet facing the Qibla and also the face raised a little bit facing the Qibla.
Right.
Now, hypothetically speaking, or supposedly someone did something wrong and did not follow this.
Indeed.
All what we are talking about is mustahabat, good, preferred, like. There is no kafara as such. If a person feels that I have done wrong, make some istighfar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive.
Right.
But now, make a scene of it. Many times we are getting phone calls that they're facing the body this way, they're turning it this way, what shall we do? And there's some hue and cry and screaming and shouting. Over mustahabat, we should not be fighting and quarreling. Aula and ghair aula, good, preferred, we should not be quarreling over.
All right, Mr. JazakAllah so much for the clarification. Allah reward you. We have a call, Brother Jed. Yes, we have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Ji.
Is the Mufti here?
Ji, Mr. Fit on the other line, brother. You can ask a question.
Oh, okay. In today's Islamic, you enter into an agreement with somebody, right?
Yeah.
And if the person acknowledges to everybody that you have X amount of shares in a business, but because it's not put on paper, then you use the English law. But because it's not on paper, you don't have shares. You know, like they came to say that. Let me get answer. You know, I had to make sure it was on paper. But I will always go on Sharia. You know, a verbal agreement is an agreement. Islamic.
All right, brother, just hold that. I'm sure you understood the question.
Right?
See, Islamically, as stated in Surah Baqarah, that you should put everything in writing. So a verbal agreement is not necessarily a valid agreement.
All right, brother, you got the answer.
Yes?
You got the answer.
Oh, I wasn't listening to the radio.
Sir, just repeat the question, answer for the brother, please.
Perhaps he cannot hear me clearly because he says he cannot get you on the radio.
Yes.
So I suggest that he listens to the radio.
All right, brother, just listen to the radio, all right? Mr. Abel, repeat the answer.
Okay, thank you.
JazakAllah, brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Mr. Abel, just like to repeat that answer again one more time.
What the brother is talking about is a typical scenario and it is happening quite often these days.
Yes.
Unfortunately, that we make agreements orally, verbally, without putting it down in writing.
Mm.
As a result, when a dispute occurs, then that person says, I'm going to the court, and in court they would like the issue to be, the matter to be in writing. And Islam is the deen that he say put it in writing. In Surah Baqarah it is very clear that you should put all transaction dealings, etc., and wasiyat in writing. So Islam is saying put everything in writing, and unfortunately we are taking some other route and going into oral and verbal transactions and dealings. As a result, then when it comes to division of dividends and shareholdings, we have a huge quarrel and fight. So please put everything in writing. In this case, the brother stated that the oral evidence, etc., is not going to be held valid unless he's got two witnesses.
Okay. All right, Mr. Jazakallah, very important that we've got to have to, you know, jot and write down all of our details. And one of the reasons as to why many businesses are even breaking down, partnerships breaking down, is that, you know, the transactions and the details are not jotted down and written down. Assalamu alaikum, the SMS says, I break wind a lot during namaz. Am I ma'adur? How must I delay my namaz if I am in a rush to go out?
First of all, in order to be classified ma'adur, incapacitated, you should be not be able to hold your wuzu. For example, you are discharging air, so it should be so often that you cannot make wuzu and a 4 rakat salat for an entire duration of a salat time. So there are various conditions here. Wuzu plus 4 rakat of salat for the entire duration of a salat time. If this activity perpetuates for that entire salat time, then you are incapacitated. But as you are explaining, you are not incapacitated, you should wait for the last possible time, expiry time of that particular salat, make your wuzu, then perform your salat.
All right, JazakAllah. So we've gone further. Yes, I think we have a call about the jail. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
I just want to ask a question about medical aid. Is it permissible?
Medical
aid. And the second
aid.
Question is, you know, I'm hearing about the takaful.
All right, you want clarification on takaful? All right, JazakAllah, brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
First question is permissible. Second question is that if our policy is that if they are reputable muftiyan behind any commercial activity, then we regard it as permissible. As far as this issue is concerned, we have been informed that there is Mufti Ashraf, who is a very good scholar, and he is a student of Mufti Taqi Osmani, and he is also the scholar at a teacher in Springs at the Jamia Mahmoudia, and he is no honorary scholar. He has stated that this is permissible. Our opinion is when there is some reputable, notable, reliable, pious alim behind the permissibility of an action, we regard it as permissible.
All right, JazakAllah. We have a caller from the town, Durban. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you, Malaya?
Alhamdulillah. How are you, brother?
Assalamu alaikum to Mufti sir.
Wa alaikum salam.
My question is, you know, locality, in some masjid, there is no dua being read after the Faraz Salah. Is it meritorious or is it sinful not to read the dua? That's my first question.
Yeah.
My second question, in order for one to concentrate in one salah, is it permissible to close one eyes in order to focus in your mind, not to, you know, wander away?
Okay.
And my third question for our Mufti Sahib is that if one's eyes are open while performing salah, we should refocus the eye at the point where we're going to make a sijda.
All right, JazakAllah. There's a three questions here, brother.
JazakAllah.
All right, JazakAllah, brother. Assalamu alaikum. You
wrote it down, right?
Jim, sir, I wrote it down.
That's the whole program. The first question is that if you go to our website, alislam.co.za, we have translated a book by Mufti Sayyid Abdul Jalil, who is the Shaykhul Hadith of Talibuddin, he's speaking of it. It's called Dua After Faraz Salat. Dua After Faraz Salat, according to Mufti Lajpuri, Sahib Fatawa Rahimiyah, he stated that that action which was done individually, the dua will be done individually. That action which was done congregational, the dua will be done in congregational. The dua after Faraz Salat is mustahab, good to say.
Right.
And to raise the dua, to raise the hands for the dua, that is part of ethics of dua, mannerisms of dua. But there is dua proven after Faraz Salat, and according to one of the Fazlur Rahman Shaykhul Hadith of Darul Ulum Azad, he has stated that with his research, the dua after Faraz Salat, which has got sunnah, should be short, and the dua after Faraz Salat, which has got no sunnah, can be a little lengthy. it is best to have it inaudible. Audible if the muqtadis, the followers, do not know the dua. Recite it a little loudly.
Mm.
When they learn it, then you make it softly.
All right,
Shaykh. However, if the imam at times leave out the dua, then it is permissible. Do not fire him. Because he's, your salat has terminated when he has made the salam. So his responsibility has ended there.
All right.
Do not regard that dua to be faraz, wajib or sunnah. It is jurisprudently mustahab.
Right. The other question was, Mufti Sahab, during namaz, is it permissible to close one's eyes for concentration?
Scholars have stated that it is not like to do such an action. If a person does it now and then for practice purposes, then it is permissible. To do it habitually all the time, that will be makruh.
All right. And the third question was that while in namaz, if the person's eye is open, where should the eyes be focused? Is the place of sajda?
At different postures, his eyes go to different places. When he is standing, then his eyes must be focused on the sijda position. When he comes into ruku, then his eyes should be behind the raised bone of the ankle. When he is in sijda, then his eyes are open in such a way that he can see his fingers. When he is in delta position, his eyes should be on the hands, which are placed above the thighs.
All right, JazakAllah Ustaz, we go on further, inshallah. I think we have a call on the line from Roshni. Brother, assalamu alaikum rahmatullah. Hello, assalamu alaikum. All right, sister, are you there?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
I just want to find out, I'm a medical student, and I just want to know, in the hospital, there's policy that they allow students, when a patient comes in and if they've passed away, be it a baby or an adult, to practice certain skills on them once the person has passed on. They give you that permission so as to practice so that for in future you better skilled to perform the task. I just want to know, is that allowed Islamically? Am I able to do this?
Just hold on the line, sister. We'd like to get clarification of this. I'm just starting with a question.
Yes, good.
Gee, all right, sister. Jazakallah.
Jazakallah.
All right, you listen on the radio. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
It is permissible.
All right, JazakAllah. We go on further. Assalamu alaikum. The listener says, I've heard that when you sleep, your soul travels and meets the people of dream. The people you dream of. Is this true?
When a person is sleeping, then obviously the soul leaves the body partially. Does not leave the body totally. If the soul leaves the body totally, that is death. So the soul at times leaves and goes away to another sphere. And there is a lengthy discussion where it goes, how it wanders, where it wanders. And Shah Wali Ullah Delhi Rahmatullah Alayhi has written a lot of this in Hujjatullah al-Baligha.
Mm-hmm.
And at times this soul definitely contacts other souls. And not necessarily that person dreams of it. Not necessary that on meeting that person is going to dream of that particular soul that was met.
All right. Assalamu alaikum, the SMS says, if a person who eats drunk, Mutisa, comes as a beggar and asks for food, what should we do? Give or not give?
You should give food, not money.
Give food, give not money. All right, to go on further, the SMS question saying, Assalamu alaikum, can we make two rakats, nufal namaz, making intention for tawbah, shukr, and salat al-hajjah?
This is a nice question because it pertains to nawafil salah. All the three salat that have been mentioned by the Qashtabiyya are nafil optional in nature. So it is permissible to combine the niyat, the intentions of optional salah. But as soon as you have got a degree above, you cannot combine them. For example, you cannot combine the optional with the sunnah or the optional with the wajib or the optional with the faraz. Yeah, you can combine any amount of optional niyat.
All right, JazakAllah. So we go on further, inshallah. And just to remind you, the lines are now closed. And don't send us any SMS questions. We're just going to be going through the last few SMSs we have. All right, JazakAllah. The other question is, Mufti Sahib, assalamu alaikum, can sadaqah be given to the maid who is a non-Muslim?
This is what I was explaining. That people are under the impression that sadaqah is only for the poor. This is when you have got wajib sadaqah. Wajib sadaqah is, for example, a person broke a vow, or a person made a vow that if I pass my exam, I will give 100 riyals, or if my mother becomes well, I give so much amount of money. Now the mother became well, or the person passed the exam. Now that is sadaqa, which is wajib. Something that was optional, you made it compulsory upon yourself, made it wajib upon yourself. Now it is compulsory for you to give it out. The recipient of that type of a sadaqa are the only poor Muslims. So, when you make such a vow and pledge, and it materializes, then give that sadaqa only to the Muslim poor. Sadaqa can be given like lillah, if you have made no intention prior to that. So you can give it even to the petrol attendant, you can give it to the maid, Muslim, non-Muslim, balig, na-balig, wealthy, poor, anybody.
Right, Jazakallah. We're going further. Can we allow Georges to play with dolls, Mufti Saab, when they are still small and after the plates put it back away?
It is permissible.
It's permissible. Husband, alright, we've done this question, we dealt with it earlier. We go on further. Salaamu Alaikum. The question says, Salaams, where would day of Hashar be? Is it Arafat, Sariya?
According to some scholars, that it will be in around, starting from Masjid al-Aqsa area. From that area, standing till Arafat.
Alright, Jazakallah. We go on further. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Marana, if there is najasad on the underwear, do you become napak after you wash it? Explain a bit more, please. Jazakallah.
Najasad impurity, depending which type of impurity. Now, obviously, if it's on the underwear, the person has already taken the ghusl, I presume. Then, to wash off that underwear, and if that underwear, if the najasad was of a type that is fluid and it is wet, then wherever it cuts, that area has to be washed also. If it is solid in nature and does not touch and soil the other area, then it is not necessary to wash the other area because it has not soiled the other area. It will only be necessary to wash off that najasat.
All right, Mr. Jazakallah, we have another two questions here with regards to names. The one being, Assalamu alaikum. What does the name Qayla mean, Mr.? And the other question is, I want to know what the name Shahrukh means.
Both these names here, they do not seem to be sounding right. They seem to be sounding like the names of people who are not practicing properly upon Islam. However, I think Sheikh Jad, the engineer, has a program about names. Phone him.
All right, phone Brother Jad. Inshallah, we'll ask him. Brother Jad, do you know what Shahrukh means? Brother Jad says yes, call him. All right, Assalamu alaikum. I would know what the procedure regarding looking of the girl one intends marrying. Please explain, Mr. Sir.
Some ulama have the opinion that you can look, if your intention is solely for marriage purposes, not for comfort, ease and deriving pleasure, etc. If the parties are sincere and this looking is only solely for marriage purposes, then some ulama say that some room for permissibility exists.
Alright, JazakAllah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. It says, is it permissible to eat sushi or raw fish according to Hanafi madhab?
Fish is fish. You have to eat it raw, eat it.
Alright, JazakAllah. I would like to know if women are allowed to wear imitation rings.
They are not allowed to wear.
They are not allowed to wear, JazakAllah. Assalamu alaikum. What's the Shari'at ruling registration for unemployment, as this involves interest? It says, Assalamu alaikum, what is the Sharia ruling regarding registration for unemployment, as this involves interest?
You should register and take the money.
Alright, we go on further. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, I suffer from depression, please advise.
Read Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel wa ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir 500 times.
Subhanallah, halfiallahu wa ni'mal wakeel, ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir.
And you try to read it 100 times after every salah. Written in Fatawa Rahimiyah that this will remove anxiety, depression and all other difficulties.
Alright, JazakAllah. Alright, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Is it permissible to cut nails and hair while you are in haid? Most of you explained that earlier. Alright, JazakAllah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. The other question is, can a woman go to the Qabristan whether they are baligh or not?
They should not go to the Qabristan. Most of the ulama ikram of the opinion that women should not visit graveyards.
All right, sir, I think we've come to the end of today's very interesting program. JazakAllah for the very, very, very valuable input and educational program. And alhamdulillah, we must say we learned a great deal. And may Allah reward you in abundance, Mustafa. JazakAllah. Until next time, make dua for us.
You and the listeners also.
Ameen, Mustafa. JazakAllah so much. Fi amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.